The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hey there, welcome to another SoCal Sound Session. Julie Slater, joined by the infamous Jason Friday.
Hello.
And Blonde Shell.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks
welcome
for having
everyone.
Me.
We're about to do a meditation. Thanks for being here. It's so awesome to have you back. We interviewed you, a little over a year ago.
A year and a half.
You
came
by. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It was really fun.
It's really fun. You came by, then you played just with Jeff, our good buddy.
Yeah.
But now you have a full band, which we're very excited about as well.
Yes.
The new album is called If You Asked for a Picture, and it comes out on May 2nd. You are playing the Fonda on May 30th.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into, well, you're about to go on tour. I've been checking on the socials, and it's very fun to see. It looks like every show you booked, they're like, sorry, we got to move this because we need more tickets. So it's like a demand thing. So that's pretty neat.
Surprised.
I
was very surprised, yeah. I played a lot of shows where nobody buys any tickets.
So, I have two.
Really?
I played a show where one or two people were there.
Yeah, me too, for sure. There's like a blender in the background.
Yeah, basically.
Yes, so it's been a great surprise.
Did you play or are you about to play? I think I saw something about Glastonbury.
I played Glastonbury last summer.
Was that insane?
It was insane. It was like such high energy.
Was that the biggest show you played or have you played other things?
I played some shows opening for people in different festivals, so it's like hard to say. But that was probably the most high energy festival we've played. It was really fun.
That's amazing. I can't even imagine playing. I mean, that's just like a legendary.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we're blunt. Oh God, there's hundreds of thousands of people here. Holy.
There weren't hundreds of thousands of people at my set, but it's such a big place. The festival feels like its own city. So,
exactly.
Yeah. It just, when you get there, you just feel it. And it's really,
that's incredible.
It's really cool. Yeah. Wow. And you know all the history. So, yeah. Feels really exciting. Yeah.
How does it feel now? You had your first record, self-titled. This is your second, which is a big deal to like bounce into a new record. How do you feel? What happened kind of in between those records? Do you think there's something on this album that sort of shows all that, like what you've gone through? And are you a different person? We're all different people, I guess, between projects.
I don't think there was like some massive shift or some massive event. I think the music is really just about like coping with everyday life and stuff that's happened in the past and stuff that's currently happening. But it's not so like one big event driven kind of a thing. So I feel like it was really important for me not to feel a pressure to have some big event happen or change or anything. I just wanted to keep writing. So I don't know, I think I was busy since the last album came out. I played a lot of shows. So it was really just sort of finding time when I was home or when I was on the road to write. And same, it was kind of like the same recording process as last time.
How long of all these songs, there's 12 tracks on it. I always like to know where these songs are written. I know you had mentioned earlier when we were chatting that you write a lot just like in your room by yourself.
Yeah.
Is that where most of these were written?
Yeah, I think there were like two that were written when I was traveling, maybe, but most of them were just in my house. I sort of, like, I have a speaker set up, and so just sort of, like, the demos that I make are on my phone, but I'll set up my mic and my speakers, and then I'll record my phone, like, what's coming out of my speakers into my phone. So I always write at home, and then I'll bring it to the producer that I work with, and we'll kind of go, like, from my iPhone demo and then build something new.
Do you have like rituals with like the lights dim, the lava
going? No, it's gotta be so dressed down. No. It has to be like it has to be so normal. I think if there was some sort of like ceremony to it, for me it would feel intimidating or not totally natural. It's the same, like I've tried to dress up for shows before. If it's a really important show, there was like one time that I was on tour and we were playing, I was opening for somebody and we played at the Chicago Theater, which is obviously like a gorgeous, historic kind of a venue.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm going to wear a suit and a bow tie. And it was terrible because the entire time I was like, first of all, when you have an IEM pack, it's like clipped onto your pants. So my pants were falling down because I wasn't used to wearing a suit. And it was just like hot. And I was like, I need to just stick to the stuff that I always wear, jeans and a t-shirt or tank top. Yeah, like it has to be really everyday life kind of a thing for me to feel comfortable.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah,
I really do get that. I know there's always, trust me, when I, just to elaborate on this and be on the same page with you, my band, after our last record, we would do turtlenecks and leather jackets over a turtleneck to have an image.
Were you sweating constantly?
That's an understatement, sweating easily. It was very painful.
That sounds painful.
Yeah. So.
But you looked really cool.
I will say, on our record release show, there were some rad shots. This isn't about me, by the way, everybody. But I will say, I'm just like really, I really understand that. And like having this whole like dress and like rehearsal and all that. And you're just like, no, I just need to, let me just put something that makes me feel like me. That's it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. You don't want to feel, I mean, for some people, they feel really inspired by being a different side of themselves.
Totally.
Or a character.
Yeah.
But I've tried it and it feels really unnatural. And it's the same with writing. Like, it has to just be in my house and really normal everyday life.
Yeah.
It must be nice, though, in a way, to have a stage name as Blonde Shell. So then people, not everyone knows your name. I talked to someone else and they're like, yeah, you'll get an email. Hey, Blonde Shell, what's up?
Yeah.
You know? You can keep a little bit of your own self to yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What about when you went in to record? I also love to know, where did you record? You live in Los Angeles. Did you record here?
I recorded here. It was the same. So the first album, we did all the demos. The producer I work with is named Eve. We did all the demos at Eve's studio. And then we went to Sunset Sound. We tracked for like 4 days for the first album.
Nice.
And then we brought it back and pieced it together for a long time. So it was the same thing. We had like, we did the demos for months and got them where we wanted them to go. And then we tracked all the instrumentation at Sunset Sound in Hollywood.
That's
for
beautiful.
Like 5 days, 7 days. And then we put it together for a while at Eve Studio.
Is there any song, and I can show you the track list,
so
you don't have to do it by memory.
Yeah.
Is there any song that particularly like came together, you know, crazy easy, or just something unusual for you?
I think Event of a Fire came together somewhat easily. We wanted to have, like, it's kind of a ballad, but we have rock guitars in it, and we knew that we wanted both of those elements, and it's just a really lyric-heavy song, so we wanted everything to be around the lyrics. And it's kind of a long song, and so I thought it would be this big mountain to climb with production, but that ended up coming together. And Model Rockets, the last song on the album, I think also came together quickly.
Do you feel, I do a feature on the air called An Album Dive, but I always love playing the final track because there seems so, like it's wrapping it all up. So was that a very big purposeful thing for where you placed that song? Or are these written? I know you had mentioned off camera that you kind of, the first three sort of were written in order. Are these all written in order?
No. It was like the first three songs were written, or the first song in the album and the third song were both written around the time that we made the first album. So that's why I wanted them at the beginning. The second song came out, or was written a little bit later, but I wanted it to feel sort of continuous from the last album, not like, okay, period.
Right.
I'm waiting a while, and now I have this new thing. Like, it's just all kind of, like, it didn't really stop.
Sure.
And so I wanted it just to feel like we're picking up where we left off. And then the rest of them are sort of all over the place in terms of when I wrote them.
So what made you choose that one as the final?
Not the lyrics or anything, just it sounds like the last song on an album to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Let's talk about the title, If You Asked for a Picture. I had read that it's based off of a poem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell me about like how you came across a Mary Oliver Dogfish?
I brought a Mary Oliver book with me on tour, and I was reading it. And then Dogfish is the first poem in the book. And I just loved the poem because it was sort of like I don't know. I think there's a lot of compassion in it. And there's part of it that's talking about how people are the way that they are because of their entire history, and nobody is mean or nice or whatever their personality is for no reason. Yeah. You end up how you are because of everything you've been through. And I think that's just a really nice way of looking at other people. I think most of the time people are thinking about themselves in that way with all of that compassion. Like, I got here because I went through XYZ. But I think thinking about other people that way is kind of a really beautiful and surprising thing.
Sure.
And then there was a part of it where she was like, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, but she was like, I don't need to tell you my entire life story. I can just kind of like give you this little piece, just like a little snapshot. And I think that albums and songs are really like that. I think it's just impossible to try to show somebody everything,
sure,
like the totality of who you are and everything you've been through and what everything you think about the world is just like not possible. So I like the idea of an album being just like a little bit of a picture of what your life was like at the time. So
sure,
that's what I wanted the album to be.
That's really pretty.
Yeah, really. I like that a lot, actually. It's just enough to where they're like, wait, I want...
Just a little bit, yeah. You know?
Here you go.
So you're about to go on tour. Are there any venues that you haven't played that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hit this place or a city?
I always like playing in Chicago. I've played at the venue we're playing, Metro. I've played there once before. I'm excited to go back. I like this size venue because we've played, like, my shows. These will be the biggest shows I've played that are my shows, but I've gone on tour opening for people. So I've played at some of these venues before. But I'm excited to play Brooklyn Steel, New York, because I'm from New York. I love the Fonda here.
Of course.
I've seen a million shows at the Fonda. So, yeah, I'm excited about the tour.
It has to be, when you play at a venue where you live, just like, oh my gosh, I've gone to this venue so many times. There has to be a funny, amazing feeling to be on stage and be like, oh my gosh, I made it
here. I've been here. Yeah.
The Fonda's a trip. I love it.
Yeah, I love the Fonda. Yeah. So cool.
We were enjoying earlier, I was playing some Alanis Morissette and you were singing along, mm-hmm, which was fun. Do you have like 90s icon artists that you love, or especially female artists that have inspired you?
So many. Literally so many. And I thought about it a lot with my last album. I didn't think about it so consciously with this album, but I think that it's just like so part of who I am as an artist that I think it's there anyway. But like when I made the last album, I was just listening to Hole all the time. I love Courtney Love so much, and her writing. I think people talk about her voice a lot. It's like one of the best rock singers of all time. But her writing and the lyrics and the melodies and I think that she had a massive impact on how I hear music and stuff.
What were you listening to right before you recorded this one? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was listening to a lot of California rock, and you guys were just playing, not Californication, you were playing Zephyr Song. But
Chili Peppers?
Yeah. So I listened to a lot of Chili Peppers. I was listening to a lot of sort of like dude heavy rock, like Queens of the Stone Age. So I wanted to have some guitar parts that felt like that. I was listening to Rated R a lot at the time. So REM, I was listening to Automatic for the People, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I was listening to a lot of different stuff when we made it.
That's great.
Yeah, that is.
Well, your full band sounds really awesome.
I was stoked to have them here because last time was just, you were saying me and Jeff. Yeah, I love doing stripped down stuff, but it's like more fun to have your normal setup.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really nice. They both have great things, like an acoustic performance. You really can hear how beautiful a song is in its simplest form, but a full band, it's just really
fun. Yeah.
That's true.
So you'll be playing, I'm sure you're touring with a full band, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me.
New album, If You Asked for a Picture, it comes out on May 2nd. You'll be playing the Fonda on May 30th.
May 30th.
And Blonde Shell, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me. We'll be right back.
something about it. One time I said, if you stop drinking, maybe I could find you attractive. Maybe I could let you have it. And it happened. Ah, I asked him why he had these feelings. He said, you're this and that don't really hurt. And I think he really meant it. And now I'm wondering if I should let. About that fight, remember, you got scared and changed your voice. Turned from man to a boy. You turned back though, stayed mad though, 'cause I always go back and forth. The spinal cord, a little pull, it's heroin.
Thank you.
SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.